read in John chapter 10, and at the end of verse 10, he said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Over these last 4 weeks, and this will be our fifth week, we have been studying this abundant life that Jesus came to this earth specifically to give to you and I. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 48 that those who are made of the dust are like him who was first made of the dust, our forefather Adam, earthly minded, and as is the man, Jesus Christ, from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven, heavenly minded. That is us. As we love and we follow Jesus, as we've received him as our Savior and Lord, we have become heavenly minded. And today, I want to look in the context of the book of Revelation, of this abundant life. And as we go into those verses, it's important to know that because we are of that same heavenly life that Jesus is, even though the things in the book of Revelation are still to be fully and completely fulfilled, we can live in the good of everything that we see there. And you'll see what I mean as we go into the scriptures. And so last week, we looked again at some of the signs of this life. Not to disprove our claim to be a Christian, but to help us to understand what we can expect to experience in our life as a Christian. There were five signs. The first one is that the power of sin has been broken. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says, the power of the life-giving Spirit has made us or set us free from the power of sin that leads to death. The second sign was this, that we have fellowship with God. God becomes our heavenly Father. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know him who sent me and his son Jesus Christ. Not just to know about him, but to intimately and by experience, know and have fellowship with God. The third sign of life is that we have living within us and through us the Holy Spirit. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. My friends, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and are serving him, you have the Holy Spirit as a sign of that life living in you. Last week, sign number four was this, that we love our brothers and sisters. We know that we have passed from death to life. 1 John chapter 3 says, because of our love for our brothers and sisters. He that does not love his brother is abiding in death. One of the evidences and the proof that we have the life, the abundant life that Jesus talks about, is that we are able to love each other with the love that God has loved us. And the last sign that we looked at last week was this, that we have a passionate love for those that are still lost in sin. Jesus said these words in John chapter 10, the thief only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have abundant life. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? He lays down his life for the sheep. That's what communion is all about, my friends. Remembering and recognizing that Jesus willingly died and was punished in our place. The amazing thing is this, that he did it before ever we had one thought towards him. God commends his love towards us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. In that while we were yet lost in sin, Christ died for us. Jesus said, I'm willing to lay my life down for those sheep. In verse 16, he said, and there are other sheep who are not of this fold yet, but they should be, and I must bring them in. And I believe that one of the signs of abundant life within us as Christians is this, that there is this passionate love within us towards those who are lost in their sin. That this love compels us and motivates us to do something about it. How does this life begin? How do we start to experience this abundant life? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Master, and if we believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. This abundant life is a spiritual life. That is where it starts. That is how we become a Christian. We get born again. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean getting religious. It means believing and receiving Jesus Christ in our hearts. That is how this life begins. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, he who has the Son has life. I was meditating on that verse early this morning as I was praying. And I just had to thank God that my Bible doesn't say this. He that has the Son will have life. I just, my heart just welled up. My eyes just filled with tears of thankfulness. That this life that God wants us to have is not just something that we look forward to in heaven. Praise God. Because the Word of God says, if you have the Son, you have this life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. This is the abundant life. It has been given to you if you have received Jesus as your Savior. You have it in all of its fullness dwelling in you. Oh yes, we're going to look forward to the fulfillment of it when we get to heaven. Praise God. But it has been given to us to live in and to experience now in Jesus' name. If you're in the habit of saying praise God or hallelujah or amen or jumping up and punching the air, that's a good thing to get excited about. We have this life right here, right now. And the Bible says this, there is nothing that can separate us from it. Not even death. Nothing can separate us from the love and the life of God, which is ours through Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the life that you have. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the message that we have to tell people who still are lost in sin. Our message is not, You must change and become good. You must stop doing that because God doesn't like it. No, no. The message is, if you have the Son, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the abundant life of God as a gift given to you in all of its fullness. And so this morning, I want us to take a brief moment to look into the book of Revelation. How many of you have read that book recently? Well, praise God for that. Most of us get scared by it. I remember when I was a very young Christian, I could read just about every other book. Leviticus was difficult. I just didn't understand it. You have to remember that I was raised on the original King James, kind of one step up from Greek. If you're into William Shakespeare, then you can understand that Bible. But Leviticus was a real difficult book to get through. But Revelation was one I just didn't like to read because, one, I couldn't understand it, and two, it sounded pretty gruesome. And I didn't know how to contextualize it into my life. But praise God, it's a book of life. It's a book of a vision. John had a vision. Now, I don't know whether he had a daydream or a night dream or a day vision or a night vision. But God gave him this vision. And that's scriptural. The Bible says that young men will have dreams and older men will have visions, or the other way around, one way or the other. We're to have dreams and visions of God. Do you have a vision from God? If not, what is your life all about? What are you pursuing? Be thou my vision, we sometimes sing. I pray that Jesus is your vision in life, that you pursue him with every part of your being. And John had this vision of things which are still to happen. They will happen. They will come to pass. Some of them literally, others because they are spiritual and cannot be described literally, they are a figurative speech of what will happen. But one thing you can be sure of, everything that God spoke in that vision will come to pass. And there are three things that I want us to briefly focus on this morning. The first one is this, in the context of abundant life. It's what is called the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. It says in Revelation, the fifth verse of the third chapter, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. In Luke chapter 10, we have an account there of a time when Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out to preach the gospel, to heal the sick. And the Bible tells us that they came back and they were so excited because everything that Jesus said would happen did happen. And they were particularly excited because they said, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And that is true. That is an absolute truth. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. And one day, the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus said to his disciples, hey guys, that's fantastic, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that you can speak to these forces of evil, and in the name that I have, you can exercise authority over them. You can see people healed. You can see those who have been possessed by the evil one set free. But he said, I got some news for you. As wonderful as that is, there is something even greater that you need to rejoice about. And this is it, that your name is written in heaven. Now, I don't know whether God has a big computer. If he has, I'm sure it's an Apple Mac. Sorry, PC users. Sorry, Su Hong. God bless Su Hong. We do all of our media on Apple Macs, and he's a PC man. But we believe in conversion. Maybe he has literally a big book that he writes the names down of those who believe in his son, Jesus Christ. However that will happen, there is a record in heaven of every single person who has repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that one day, the Bible says this in Revelation, all the books will be opened in heaven. And this one book will be opened, and in it contains all of the names of the saints. In other words, those who have put their faith and trust and have believed and have overcome in the name of Jesus. I want to ask you directly this morning, do you know for sure that your name is written in that book? Because the Bible goes on to say, and we will read this verse in a moment, that only those whose names are found in that book of life will enter into an eternity with God. And this is a very sobering thought concerning the abundant life. Although it is a free gift, in other words, it cannot be earned or deserved, it is also something that has to be received and believed. And there is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is, my friend, only one way to be sure that your name is on that roll call. That when that Lamb's Book of Life is opened in the realms of heaven, that you will not be trembling because you know or you're not sure if your name is there. And that way is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of your sin and receive forgiveness. For one day that book will be opened. And here in Revelation, it talks about this new city that will be created. It says, and on that day, that city will be made available to those who are the saints of God. And we will be welcomed in. And it speaks about that city. It says, and on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The first verse that we read together from Revelation said this: if we overcome, then our names will not be blotted out. That would say to me quite soberly, but very clearly, that there is a way in which our names can be blotted out. And this verse in Revelation says that there will be by no means anything allowed to enter that city that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to ask you again, do you know without any doubt that your name is in that book. It can be, and you can know that and experience that today. The second thing I want us to look at from the book of Revelation is the water of life. You remember in John chapter 4, Jesus met with a lady who was drawing water from a well. Jesus said to her, whoever drinks of this water, the water that you are drawing, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Such an amazing truth to realize that the water of life that is given to us when we are born again, it causes us never to thirst. For us, as followers of Jesus, there should be no lack in our life. We should be fully satisfied with our Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond that, this water is not just a puddle or a pond or a lake. It is a fountain. It is ever fresh. You go to Nepal and you're told not to drink the tap water. If you can find a tap that has water coming out of it. You're told not to drink the water out of the streams because it's contaminated. You must only drink bottled water. My friends, as those who follow Jesus, the life that floods out of us is fresh, life-giving, cleansing, heavenly water. And as we connect with people in our lives, it can bring freedom. It can bring deliverance. It can bring hope and health to those around us. If we read in Revelation 22, we see as part of the vision that John is showed, he's shown a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Look where it's coming from. It's coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. My friends, the life which is ours, that is given to us in Jesus Christ, this abundant life, it has its source as the throne of God. And we can partake of it. We can drink from it, of this living water. Every moment of every day, it is a river, pure water, living water. And as long as we stand underneath its flow and we allow it to wash over us and we let it come into our hearts and cleanse us and feed us, that, my friends, is the source of this heavenly life. And praise God, one day we're going to stand like John did in his vision, and we're going to see literally this river of water. We're going to sense its purity. We're going to see that it is sourced from the throne of God. But I have good news for you today. That water is available for us to drink of right now, in no less measure, with no less effect, with no less life than it will have on that day, because that life, its source, is the eternal God, one who has no beginning, no end. And if God has given us his life now, he who has the Son has life. It is the same life that we would enjoy whenever we stand on the shores of this river and drink of that living, pure water. We can drink it now in Jesus' name. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. It's in fellowship with our God. This is the source of life. The Word of God. It is living. to the unbeliever, to the one whose spirit has not been energized by the Holy Spirit, it can be a dull and a boring and a complicated book. But to you and I who has the Spirit of God living in us, it is the source of life. For in it is everything that we need. Truth and freedom and strength. And as we take the Word of God and in fellowship with God through prayer, we communicate, we converse with God. His Word comes alive to us. Oh my, I want to encourage you every day, drink from the fountain of life. Open the Word of God and let that living water flood through you. I know that some of us, we wake up, we get our coffee, we open up our laptop and we're straight onto social networking sites. And what we read, my friend, will affect you. How about we get our coffee and we open up the Word of God and let that pure living water just flood over us? I would suggest it's the best drink to go to bed at night on. His Word. It's the best drink to wake up in the morning with. His Word. It is life. It is wholeness. It is freedom. It gives you something to give away as well. That life. That water of life. Third and last thing I want us to look at quickly is the tree of life. It says in Genesis chapter 3, that way back in the Garden of Eden, because man sinned, God drove man out of that garden and he put to protect the tree of life, cherubims and seraphims, and not these little cuddly Michelin man type angels, big flaming sword bearing angels to protect the tree of life. Why? So that in that fallen, sinful state that man had come into because of sin, they would not partake of this life-giving source and forever remain in their sin. But the Bible tells us in Revelation 2, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to those that believe in Jesus Christ to the end, I will give to eat of the tree of life," hallelujah, "which is in the midst of the paradise of God." In Revelation 22, John says this, "In the middle of the streets of this new city and on either side of this river of pure living water was the tree of life. It bore 12 fruits." What does that mean? It's never out of season. You have to wait till a tree is in season before you can take of its fruits. But this tree of life, my friend, is always in season. It always has fruit that we can take of it and enjoy. It says, "Each tree yielding fruit every month." It says this, "The leaves of the tree." I love this time of year. We live right close to some small mountains, big hills, and they're lined with trees. And right now, my goodness, those colors, they are just stunning. Golds and oranges and burgundies and just a mosaic of amazing colors. And those are the leaves dying. Can you imagine that something's dying has such beauty? That's just God's creation. And the Bible says concerning this tree of life that the leaves of this tree, the leaves which capture the carbon dioxide and through a chemical process, which I can't remember the name of, turns it into life for this tree and then kicks out oxygen. and then they die. But the leaves of this tree are for healing of the nations. My friends, we can partake of this tree of life right now. Whatever season of life you are in, whatever you are going through in life, there is fruit that this tree produces that you can partake of. You say, well, Pastor, we're not in heaven yet. And maybe those seraphims are still guarding that tree of life. In one way, yes. But as children who have received Christ as our Savior, we have access to this tree of life. We can take of its fruit. We can enjoy it. We can live in the fullness of this abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give us. We need never be in lack. We need never go through something negative without hope at the end, because this life that is given to us in Jesus is abundant. Have you ever stopped to think what abundant means? The definition that I like is this: more than enough. God is a more than enough God. He doesn't just do enough to get us through. He is an abundant God. My friends, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, if you're following him as his disciple, you have more than enough life. Let's pray. Father, this message, this word concerning the life that is ours through Jesus Christ is amazing. We stand before you as your children, God, fully conscious of the fact that we do not deserve this life. We have not earned it. It is purely by your grace, through the faith that you give us, that we receive it. But we, God, are so, so thankful that this life is ours to enjoy right now. Father, we're looking forward to that time when we're with you in heaven. But right here and right now, I pray that this abundant life will be the literal experience of each one that's listening here this morning or listening on podcast. Let that abundant life flood our being. Let the truth of your word burst with life and dispel every doubt, every deception, every lie, that we may see that he who has the Son has life. God, we praise you. And while we're in prayer this morning, as we do this every week, I want to speak to anyone here this morning who has never given your life to the Lord Jesus. You need to do that. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. And Jesus stands before us right here, right now, and says, I have died, I have suffered, I have given my life for you, my sheep, that you can have this abundant life. How do we get that? It is a work of the heart where God speaks into our hearts. And by faith we believe in Jesus, and in our heart we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And we can start that journey together this morning. We can come to Jesus and receive his forgiveness simply in prayer. And if you say, Pastor, will you pray with me? I'll say, yes. Yes, I will. And if you want me to pray with you, just quickly slip your hands up and then take them down again quickly. And then I can just see who's wanting to be prayed for. God bless you. We'll pray together briefly, and this will start your journey into that amazing, abundant life. Say you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Everything. We're not dipping our toes just to see what it's like. We're saying, God, come in and take over. I give you my whole life. Is there anybody else that wants to pray that prayer this morning? If you raised your hand, just pray these words in your heart to God. Say, Father God, I thank you for loving me so much that you allowed Jesus to die in my place, to be punished for my sin. God, I come to you and I repent of my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I am your child and you are my Father. And I give my whole life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God if you prayed that prayer. Three things we'd like you to do. Number one, tell somebody. If you confess with your mouth, tell somebody before you leave this morning. Number two, read some of the Bible every day. If you haven't got one, let us know. We'll give you one. Take time to pray with God. Communicate with him. That's what prayer is, communication. Speak, but also listen. And number three, be sure to regularly attend a church like this. We'd love for you to be here, of course. But you may be a guest of ours today from somewhere else. Be sure to find a church that's life-giving, preaches the gospel, encourages you to grow in your faith, where you can serve God as well. Praise God.